Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
We're talking football with the professor, John Clayton, as we do every day. If you guys have questions for John, now is the time. Text those questions into 421-3776. That's 421-ESPN. Try to get to some of your questions before we let him go for the day. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
Have you been watching some of the interviews taking place at the Combine?
No.
All right. Did you hear what Pete Carroll had to say from the Combine?
I did.
And what struck you? He hit a bunch of different things.
Yeah,
they asked him about Russell Wilson. They asked him about, you know, Rashad Penny, Chris Carson. What stood out to you most?
Russell Wilson. I mean, the five words that he said about Russell Wilson, you know, we're not shopping our quarterback. And it's like, after all these stupid national people that keep on talking about a Russell Wilson trade, do you think that put it to bed?
No.
Why?
Because
they're idiots?
I think people will, I'll just play the other side. Yeah. I think people will look at it and go, well, of course Pete Carroll's not going to say publicly, hey, we're shopping our guy. We're shopping.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying, people in other markets are looking at that going, well, of course he's going to say that publicly. But behind the scenes, it's a different story.
Come on. I mean, this thing has been solid since, I mean, again, I can't tell you how many questions since February of last year that I kept on hearing about this crap. And now we see that, in his first press conference, you know, since the end of the regular season, he actually says, you know, we're not shopping our quarterback. I mean, and then John Snyder backed him up. I mean, what more do you need? Russell Wilson's had at least 8 press conferences, said he wants to stay here. I know he's doing a children's book today that just came out. It's like, what are we talking about?
Wow. He's doing a children's book.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I mean, him and Sierra are doing it together, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's got perfume. He's got Goodman brand. He's got the nano bubbles. He's
you still
got
have the bread. What was that called? Do you remember that?
Eat the ball.
Eat the ball.
Eat the ball. Remember that, John?
Yeah, I think the children's book is like Why Not Me.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You're right. Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is also that wouldn't you say this is the case with everybody that. They're always going to listen to anything.
Yeah, they will. They'll listen, but they're not going to trade.
Right. Yeah. So every GM, I don't know if that's maybe fueling the fire as far as the rumors go, but that's pretty much the mantra for every GM in the NFL, wouldn't you think?
What's so sickening is that they won't stop. I mean, they had Philadelphia making a trade for him. They had all these different teams making a trade for him. And he's not going to be traded. I mean, they're trying to build a franchise, not lose a franchise.
Well, what I find, and you're kind of like some of the texters we get, John, or some of the people that will get mad on Twitter. You get mad. I just kind of look at it and go, huh, interesting. I don't understand the anger that's attached to people talking about it.
So redundant, and when you hear it for so long and you're asked every question about it, I mean, you get tired of it.
Mm. All right, well, let's ask you about something I think we all thought to be true, and that was that if things don't turn around in Arizona, head coach could be on a bit of a hot seat. That seemed to not just you, Clayton, but a lot of people felt that way, and then we wake up this morning and he's signed a contract extension along with the GM. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it solves a bunch of things here. Because, I mean, the quarterback, I mean, this is a big day for the NFC West. You know, like, for example, here you get a 5-year contract for Cliff Kingsbury, 5-year contract for the general manager, Steve Keim. And I think it definitely takes Kyler Murray off the trade market if he was ever going to be that, because, Cliff Kingsbury and Murray have the same agents. And so, I don't think the agent's going to allow Murray to go to a different team and affect his coach, when he just got a 5-year extension. So that has ended. So it's like, and it looks like, and of course, then you have this situation in San Francisco, which I don't know how that one's going to be resolved because, Jimmy Garoppolo's having shoulder surgery and he can't throw for 16 weeks. Who's going to trade for a $27 million cap hit on a quarterback that may not be able to throw it to the start of the regular season?
John, what about somebody asked, why isn't John at the combine? Because you were going to the combine.
I always do, yeah. But again, there's limitations this year again as to what's available. I don't know how many people are going to work out. We have a pandemic. I don't want to bring anything back for Pat, my wife. So it's like this is another year where I'm sitting out, and next year I'll go.
Yeah, you have any good memorable stories? I was telling a story today about I was at the first combine in Indy in 87, and there was a guy that ran a really good 40, and he ended up getting drafted. The NFL has drafted higher than he thought he was.
Yeah, but
you get drafted ahead of you.
God, I think so. Mm. I think he did. But, his name was Rick Graff, and he ran like a 4.5 40, and all of a sudden, you know, he jumped way up because he wasn't projected to be there. But the NFL is – I feel like there were teams that would fall in love with the workout warriors.
Yeah, yeah.
But you still see any evidence of that still happening?
What I'm worried about is, again, you know, I don't know how many people are going to work out at this combine, but what I'm worried about is that if they don't, then, because I know, like, the quarterbacks, at least two first-round quarterbacks, I mean, one's going to throw, one has an ankle injury, and he's not going to do anything. So I still wonder, you know, if these top players are just going to wait till their college workouts, and if that's going to be the case, it throws everything off. But, no, I think the great part is there's so many things that happen at the combine. I mean, you have the competition of guys working out against each other. I mean, you have trade conversations, contract negotiations. You have the competition committee meeting to see what rule changes might happen. I don't know. By the way, did you see that they're talking about the idea that they want to keep the taunting rule up? There was 61 taunting calls, and they feel that it's 56 of them were justified, which of course is ridiculous. But that's you know, the competition committee and the NFL.
Wow.
You know, something I brought up to Dave yesterday that I heard on the NFL Network, John, I forgot to ask you about yesterday. And that was somebody, God, I wish I could remember who it was, but they were talking about some of the proposals for rule change. You just hit on the proposal. One of them was they were trying to adjust the punt return because the person cited the exorbitant number of concussions suffered during punt returns. And I can't remember what the number was, but I was thinking, and I was telling Dave, I'm like, man, I don't recall seeing a lot of guys down on the field after punts, and yeah, maybe they're being diagnosed, as you said, when they get to the sideline or something. Do you know what those numbers are on punt returns, and is it a number that screams, we've got to fix something here?
I don't think so. Yeah, because a lot of the punt returns, I mean, you have guys that aren't runners trying to catch the punt returns, and they just make the catches and you fair catch and all those different things. So I mean, the kickoffs, I think, are a little bit more dangerous, but then, of course, so many of the kickoffs go into the end zone. And with that in mind, it's like that minimizes some of the injury concerns. But again, this one, of course, the league is right about, I guess because they have the right numbers, is that there's more concussions on those special teams plays than just about anything else.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. I didn't even think about that. There's a fair amount of fair catches.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're saying there's still concussions happening there.
I don't want anybody to get hurt. I don't want anybody to suffer brain damage. But I think you can only legislate the game so much, John, before it really alters what we're watching at home, what we were brought up and what we love about the game. And it's not people getting hurt, but the aggressive physical nature of the game. It's a physical game. And at this point, everybody knows what they're signing up for. Mm-hmm. There's risks and all kinds. I'm a huge MMA fan. I bring it up all the time. Boxing fan. You know, you go in there, you're taking a massive risk. You understand that. That's the same with football.
Agreed. And so it's like, I think you can overdo it. And this league, I think, has done it, you know, a bunch of times. Yeah. And so it's like, I think you have to watch out. The less rule changes, I think, are better. But again, they like to go in there and work on things and, you know, go with the overtime stuff now. And it's like, it becomes too much.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is, they have a great product.
Yes.
So why change it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not saying, and look, I'm with you. I don't want to see anybody get hurt, but that's part of the game.
Right.
I'm sorry. You're going to hit. I sent these guys a video, John, of a guy who got a helmet-to-helmet call. There was a game, random game being played last night on NFL Network, and I think it was the Falcons and the Dolphins.
Or Jacksonville. Something.
Yeah. And I sent it to Bump, and he's like, Lefko, and he's like, why are you watching the Dolphins and Jaguars? But, yeah, there's a guy, he's running for an interception.
Uh-huh.
And a DB, and his head hits the receiver's head. He's not even looking at the receiver. He's not even trying to tackle him. He's just going for the ball, and they call this helmet thing.
Yeah. Right, right.
Outrageous. Do you get mad at those?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, John, what are you working on right now? What's what has really caught your eye this week and what you've been writing about and all of that good
stuff? Well, the quarterback stuff, because now the quarterback market seems to be diminishing really fast. You know, because, like, for example, in the today, Josh McDaniels says that Derek Carr will be his first-string quarterback opening week. You know, you can see the Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota. He likes Kirk Cousins, so it looks like he's not going to be traded. Philadelphia seems to like their quarterback. I mean, you got the situation right now with the uncertainty with Jimmy Garoppolo and the shoulder, what happens to him. And, you know, then now I would have to anticipate there's no Kyler Murray trade, because I can't imagine that the agent's going to endorse the idea, even if he doesn't get a long-term deal for Kyler Murray, to be able to separate his clients, you know, because, again, I mean, Cliff Kingsbury is dependent on Kyler Murray. So I can see that one being an issue. So it's like that market's drying up really fast.
What do you think? I was just reading about the Washington Commanders, or Commandos, as you like to call them.
Yeah.
Their GM, Martin Mayhew, said the franchise looking for quarterbacks everywhere, and they want a veteran quarterback. And their quote is, "We feel we have canvassed the league effectively. We've spoken to every club that has a quarterback who might be available." And then the story goes, that might mean they've inquired about Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, amongst others, that remain long shots to be traded. And his quote is, "Every time you hear something, you're checking into it."
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So we've got to do our work. We've got to do our due diligence. So when they hear the rumors about Russell or Aaron Rodgers or maybe Kyler Murray, they're calling the teams. They're one of those teams calling. Who ultimately ends up with Washington?
I don't know. I mean, because, again, right now you have more teams looking for quarterbacks than I think quarterbacks are going to be available. You know, I don't know if they'll go for Deshaun Watson. That might be a big issue with Dan Snyder.
Maybe Trubisky ends up there.
Oh, he's actually getting more popular, which is crazy.
Yeah. Well, because of what you just said, John.
Yeah.
He was a starter. He was. I mean, geez, the Bears moved up to draft the guy.
Yeah,
he did have some success.
Stunk. He was terrible.
Yeah, it's. Not every moment was terrible.
No, most.
Listen, if Colt McCoy's got a job in this league.
Yeah. As a backup.
Yeah, he started a couple games and beat the Seahawks, which was unfortunate. But, yeah, I guess I understand why Mitch Trubisky is getting some attention. There's an ego on a coach out there that says, I can turn this guy into a starter.
Uh-huh, yeah. Good luck on that one.
Yeah.
I'm not endorsing that move.
It's not endorsed by the professor.
No.
The Raiders, you know, we're talking about how teams will fall in love with guys at the combine. The Raiders have always kind of had Al Davis had a thing with speed, right?
Right, correct.
He would always, and the guy I was trying to remember, Darius Hayward Bay.
Yeah.
Remember when they drafted him, and he was fast as could be, but, like, he wasn't even all conference. I think he was at South Carolina or something. But anyway, yeah, I feel like they still fall for that.
They do, no doubt. I mean, they try to draft fast, and, like, you know, Henry Ruggs was fast, but unfortunately he had his off-the-field problems, which, you know, caused him to go. But, yeah, they like speed. There's no doubt.
What do you make of the Dolphins have made it very clear that they are officially out on Deshaun Watson? That seemed to be a rumored landing spot. They were interested. They wanted to work a deal. They didn't supposedly made an offer that wasn't enough, and their GM, was it Chris Greier, came out and basically just said, no, it's not.
Yeah.
The door is shut, I think. The quote was, the door is shut on Deshaun.
Yeah, and they're going to stay with Tua and hope that the new coach can do the best job with him, you know, Mike McDaniels. And so, you know, I can understand it. Because, again, it's like, I mean, you pursue for a while and then you give it up.
I like Tua. I think he seems like an extremely thoughtful, nice kid. I'm just not a believer in him at this level.
I think it's questionable. I kind of tend to lean your way, too.
You think your boy Gronk plays next year? I heard Bruce Arians goes, they asked him about it, and he goes, yeah, I hear he's working out twice a week.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like,
twice a week?
Wait a minute, twice a week?
Twice a week?
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
There's some talk that Buffalo is interested in him.
Okay.
So that could be a possibility. So it's like hard to tell. I mean, you know, he's at that age where it's like, you know, it's – you're not sure what you really want to do, but at least, hey, he's working out twice a week. That's encouraging.
421-3776. That's 421-ESPN, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. If you guys have questions for John, you can text those in. I just lost. Just refreshed on me, John.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, well, is there a move, while I look for this, is there a move that, you hear about behind the scenes that's not being talked about, you know, maybe just in terms of a prominent player that may move to another team?
Oh, there's going to be a bunch of them. But, you know, because, again, we haven't had too much talk. I know that Kyle Rudolph was let go by the Giants today. Devontae Booker was let go by the Giants today. And you're going to see a lot more cap casualties coming up over the next week or so. So stay tuned on that front.
Hey, John, after all this whole thing with baseball and the players, you know, as far as the NFLPA, it seems like they've kind of switched places with Major League Baseball as far as their union. Would you say the NFL union is pretty good right now? Because when I was playing, I thought it was fairly weak, you know, when it was run by Gene Upshaw. And, you know, I remember talking to baseball players and, you know, their retirement versus, you know, and obviously it's different because you got more guys, but still. You know, that theirs was kind of the gold standard, the Major League Baseball. But as far as the NFL Players Association and its leadership, you think it's pretty strong right now?
I think, I mean, again, the great part is I don't think they've had a strike now since, what, 87? So at least they were able to get deals done. I wouldn't say it's strong because they haven't gotten all the things that they want, and they don't seem to get the things that they want. But again, it's better than the baseball. I'm not saying the baseball union. I'm talking about it's a better situation, you know, with the NFL, you know, because at least they get deals done and baseball doesn't.
Well, and I should remember this because it was my rookie year, but I think they missed one game that year because there was four replacement games.
I think. That's right.
Yeah, and then they missed one because I think it was the first week and they couldn't get all of those replacement players together. Maybe Major League Baseball should do that.
Replacement players?
Get the replacement players in there.
That'll go over well.
Nobody wants to see that. Hey, another quarterback that could, is he, I'm wondering if he's gaining some steam, is that Teddy Bridgewater? What about him?
Not much steam, no.
I don't think he's a franchise guy by any stretch, but when you talk about teams that need quarterbacks and there are very few out there, at least he's shown that he can compete at this level. I think he's a good space holder.
Right, agreed. And that's what he was last year. And, you know, if necessary, Denver will bring him back, you know, because right now that market for the, as we just talked about, is not good for quarterbacks, for veteran quarterbacks. And so they may bring him back. But if you're going to be in the AFC with Teddy Bridgewater going against all these good young quarterbacks, you're in trouble.
Hey, we were talking about rules earlier, and obviously overtime has been talked about. That's such a weird stat. I think I sent it to you guys the other day.
Yeah.
53% of the time, the person who, or the team that wins the coin toss, wins in regular season games.
Yeah.
53%. That's nothing. 10 of 11 in overtime over the last, what was it like?
In the playoffs.
15 years. Yeah. 10 out of 11 in the playoffs.
Yeah.
When, you know, if you win the coin toss, I mean, that's a very strange stat, but do you see that changing at any time?
I do at some point. Yeah,
I'm okay with it. Would you go to like the college?
No. This is the NFL.
Yeah, I agree.
You don't want to do that.
So what would you change?
First off, no 10-minute overtime. Got to have 15. You know, because what ends up happening if you're in overtime, it's gonna, and you have two possessions, it's gonna take up 10 minutes. And so all of a sudden you end up with a tie, and you don't want a tie.
Hey, John, one of the things that Pete said, and maybe it's just coach speak out there, but he said they'd like to bring Geno Smith back.
Oh, good. Okay.
You take him at his word on that?
Yeah. I mean, if he says it, I think so. I don't see why.
He also said he'd like to bring back everybody that played on the O-line last year. I'm just going to go ahead and say that's not accurate. But I don't know. It feels like you could get somebody that's the equivalent of Geno for cheaper that doesn't have the baggage.
Yeah, well, and not cheaper because, I mean, Geno got the minimum salary. You can't get lower than the minimum salary. So it's like it's not a matter of cheaper. It's just a matter of what do you feel comfortable with.
I don't know. Could Jacob Eason be the backup, or is he just not there?
He could. I don't know. I mean, he wasn't ready last year. That was for sure.
All right, John. We appreciate it. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. If you missed any of today's cold, hard facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, download the podcast at 710sports.com. I don't know. What's that?
Are you on the you want to change overtime side of things?
Yes. Yes. I would, because I think you, as a fan, you kind of get cheated out of that moment, especially, and listen, this is it. It feels like it could be an overreaction. It's sort of like the Chiefs-Rams game where everybody went, oh, great. This is what we're watching from now on. There's going to be a combined 75-point or whatever the heck it was.
Right.
But
I think it was 55-50 or something.
Yeah, it was a great. I loved it. It was a great game because it never happens. That's why everybody was talking about it. And maybe what we saw between the Chiefs and Bills is something that's going to be a rarity. But in that moment, I felt kind of cheated. I felt like, oh, man, this that stinks. They played four brilliant quarters. It was electric. We're on the edge of our seat. And now it's over like that. You know, and Josh Allen never touched the ball again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe if they just did it just for the postseason.
Well, obviously it's a problem in the postseason. That's a weird – I mean, if that stat continues to be that overwhelming 90% of the time.
Well, is it because in the postseason you're playing the best of the best, whereas in the regular season maybe the team that wins the coin toss happens to be the really good team versus a team that's not quite as evenly matched, where you're talking about the best quarterbacks on the better teams in the postseason?
That makes some sense, definitely. But, you know, I would say Buffalo had their best side of their team on the field. They were the number one defense in almost every single category. So, Patrick Mahomes.
I kind of look at that like the shift. Like, I get the argument from both sides. Like, hey, you're a great defense. Go out there and stop them. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, go out and stop them. But at the same time, there's something uneven about it. It's sort of like the shift in baseball where I'm like, make them pay for it. Go the other way. But at the same time, it does have a really negative impact on the game. And it's a lot easier to say go the other way than it is to actually do it. You got to get the right pitch and all that. So I get both sides of the argument when it comes to the shift, and I get it with overtime. Like, hey, defense, go out there, do your job. We wouldn't have this conversation. But it was a game where the offenses were dominating, and they were just trading shots. It was like, you know, two heavyweight fighters in there just landing haymakers, and who's going to be the last one standing?
Yeah, I think you make a good point. I mean, it's the only explanation I've heard of why you would win 90% of the time by winning the coin toss.
Yeah.
Because, it's so far from what happens during the regular season. I'm okay with it right now, but if it continues like this in the playoffs, I'd say,
change it.
Both sides. I would like to have seen Josh Allen out there.
Yeah, it would have been great. All right, coming up, did Pete Carroll say something that indicates a massive change in the Seahawks defensive philosophy? Talk about that next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.